Because you know I'm all about that bass.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about
that bass, Yeah, it's pretty clear. There's no better place than the one you call home. Doesn't it deserve the right protection? Talk to a Cleveland Allstate agent about home insurance today and let the good life in. Nathan Skura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs with you live from the Discount Drug Mart in Medina. Barkevious Mingo is here signing autographs right now. We will have John Greco with us as well in the second hour. So come on out, meet your favorite Browns players, and come hang out with us as well. All right. We got a lot to talk about. Some news coming out about the Browns, some Browns news as well. Number one, Josh Gordon has filed a grievance with the NFLPA over the suspension at the end of the year. Why is this important? If he wins and gets the suspension overturned, it means that he will be a free agent sooner than he would be otherwise. The Browns basically pick up an extra year of his contract if this suspension is upheld. So that'll be something to watch there. The other thing as well to know is that a report has come out that the Browns actually, before the 2013 season, when Josh Gordon was the NFL's leading receiver, the Browns offered him to Philadelphia one-for-one for Nick Foles. Joe Banner had been a part of the Philly organization when they drafted Foles, was a fan of Foles, offered him, and at that time the Eagles turned it down, even though Foles was an unknown and was not starting there. He was kind of an unknown commodity at that time.
Absolutely, and I think the one thing that you have to understand about Josh Gordon is, as I've said time and time again, what are those conversations like in the locker room between players? Those players are closely monitoring what's going on at their position. And for Josh Gordon, you're talking the top 10% of wide receivers, the money that they're making, their production on the football field, so they can come to terms mentally with their number. And when their time comes in free agency, whether it's restricted or unrestricted free agency, what is their number, and what do them and their agent really want to concoct to stay with the team, to basically become a number for them to go receive? And this truly affects Josh Gordon. And so, and as simple as it is, you know, I'm sure Josh Gordon and his agent in some regards truly feel like the Cleveland Browns were in to get him to basically, you know, screw him, for lack of better words, out of one season, which, you know, gives them an additional year.
Absolutely. I'm not going to say screw him. I think they're trying to make sure that they didn't get anything from him this year, and they're trying to make sure they do get that season back.
What I was trying to say was the picture that
for the
they're going to
sure,
paint
for
the player.
Of course.
If you disrespect the team, the team ultimately could have the final say and
listen,
take you down
he
a couple
gave
pegs.
Them a
good
reason,
for the Browns for doing
he
it.
He gave them a reason to suspend him.
Exactly.
That's on him. So I think it'll hold up. We'll see. I know that because it's on that 10th game, pivotal point for the season, the accrued season, that's what it's going to hinge on. Tweet us your questions right now at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily, at Matt Wilhelm 57, and tweet us your questions for Barkevious Mingo. We'll ask those to him in the first hour. Also do the same thing for John Greco. Tweet your questions for John Greco. We'll get to him in our second hour there.
Our boy George tweets at us, can you pick up my prescription from Drug Mart? There is a copay.
George, how big is the copay? What is it?
20%? Exactly.
Yeah. I want to know what the prescription is before I go up.
Is it blue footballs?
Amen. Is it blue? Yeah, that's what we want to know. Is it going to supersize an Italian sports car? That's what we want to know. So when you think about this trade, you know, it seems to me that if Philly ends up with Mariota, the Browns still have an opportunity to go after Foles. We've talked about that, I think, extensively on this show. Looking back on it, you know, the Browns now rumored to have been turned down a trade for a second-round pick from the 49ers. That's been reported. But they offered him for Nick Foles, which is interesting to me. Now, those two trades happened at different times. The Foles trade was preseason before Gordon had really demonstrated anything. Meanwhile, Foles went on to throw 27 touchdowns with two interceptions that year.
Both of them had great years.
Both had great 2013s. Neither had a good 2014. But during the season when Gordon had demonstrated how good he was, that's when the offer came in from the 49ers. And you have to wonder if that would have brought the 49ers to the Super Bowl at that point had he been on that team. So, interesting, you know, as a player, as Josh Gordon, you're reading this, you know you're suspended, so it doesn't matter all that much in the immediate future, but does it have an effect on you when you know that now you were potentially traded twice, once your team offered, once your team turned it down?
It does. It has to mentally affect him. And also, too, it kind of coincides with what I just said is, when and if, you know, Josh Gordon becomes an unrestricted free agent, he has to determine what that value is. And then also, too, not only does he have to determine what his market value is, but what is his value to the organization? You know, because a lot will change in 1 year of not playing football. And also to think, they didn't want me then, you know, do they want me now? And in some cases, based on what Josh Gordon has done in the last, you know, in the last year or so, which is very little value to the Cleveland Browns, is a lot is going to be determined. And I think, again, we hope that those sources that we hear from ever so frequently are not reporting it, that the Cleveland Browns and Josh Gordon and their agent have his agent have an open line of communication on if there is a future here in Cleveland.
I just, boy, could you play the big what if game? You know, what if Josh Gordon does go to the 49ers and they win a Super Bowl? There's no way Harbaugh's out.
No.
Like, I don't know about that, because that's not based on performance whatsoever. You don't fire a guy who's been as good as any coach in the NFL. They fired him. I mean, his comments have made it clear they fired him. I don't know that they care.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about the what ifs. What if Foles is on the team? You're not drafting Johnny Manziel.
Maybe you don't. Maybe, right, maybe you.
I mean, it's a big.
Maybe you
that,
take
that
Teddy
might
Bridgewater
be the ultimate
in that
what
case
if.
Because you don't need to make a splash. Who knows?
Right, or you could have moved back in the draft and got Bridgewater at insurance, you know, and probably
got an
additional
pick. There's three or four big what
year.
Ifs there.
Yeah, absolutely.
If any of those things happen.
No doubt.
Certainly very interesting. And again, Gordon has filed a grievance with the NFLPA for his one-game suspension. And, of course, you know, we are talking about the rumored trades that Josh Gordon could be sent to Philadelphia before the 2013 season for Nick Foles, a trade that the Eagles ultimately rejected. I'm surprised that the Eagles rejected that at that time, because I think if you were switched it back, you certainly would be able to do that. I think it would have been I think that you'd be able to do that trade. Now, if Josh Gordon weren't in trouble, I think that would be a no-brainer that they would do that trade. So it's interesting how these things all ultimately play themselves out. If you were the Browns, what would you have done? Would you have done that trade 2 years ago, knowing what you know now? You got the one good season out of Josh Gordon. You never know if he's going to play for you again. To me, it seems pretty much like a no-brainer. You take an opportunity on getting a guy like Nick Foles. It also, if you had Nick Foles, maybe you don't draft a quarterback this year. So when you're picking at 25, 26, maybe you take Kelvin Benjamin right there. You've got an opportunity to get your receiver there. So would you have rather had basically Nick Foles? It's funny to say right now, would you rather have Nick Foles and Kelvin Benjamin, or would you rather have Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel? I mean, I think everybody at one time would have said 100% Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel, but today you certainly would rather have Kelvin Benjamin and Nick Foles.
And that's because it's a what have you done for me lately kind of league. And, you know,
Josh Gordon can't play.
Yeah, well, Josh Gordon can't play, so he can do nothing for us. And right now Johnny Manziel is you know, getting himself better in treatment. But also, too, is I really do hope that, you know, he does fix himself and can become a football player, because I just want what's best for the Cleveland Browns as an organization. And I want to add value to that 2014 draft so that it can look at, you know, as for Ray Farmer and his group, that we didn't, you know, swung for the fences on Johnny Manziel. We didn't whiff. You know, maybe we got a single or a double. And that means even, you know, maybe not him ever performing as a Browns quarterback, but adding value as someone who's got their life straight. And we can, if need be, trade him in a one-on-one for another player to acquire, you know, some competition or add a draft pick.
You know, the RBS earlier today on KNR had an interesting debate going, you know, for Manziel, if he comes, you know, if he beats this, and, you know, we're all hoping that he does, and when he comes back, do you change the system to favor him? Do you change your offensive? If you're DeFilippo, are you changing your offensive scheme to fit Johnny Manziel, or can you not take that risk? And here's my offense if you're DeFilippo, and this is the offense you have to learn, and this is the offense that we need to be productive, whether you're productive in it or not.
I think that everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people who have studied the game and certainly who talk about this particular issue say that an offense needs to be tailored to Johnny Manziel and his skill set and what he does well. So I think that if Johnny Manziel comes back and he is your starting quarterback, yes, you're building an offense around Johnny Manziel, what he does well, and put him in the best position to succeed for this team. I don't believe that's a lot of read option, by the way. I think it's probably more bootlegs, getting him using mobility, getting him in the shotgun where he can see the field and isn't as so close to the defensive line. I do think that, yes, you've got to be able to build an offense around a guy like Johnny Manziel. I don't think you can put him. I don't think it's the old square peg in the round hole. I think you've got to tailor what you're doing to him. And I think you knew that when you drafted him.
But what happens, God forbid, 5 or 6 weeks into the season and you find out Johnny's not the guy?
I think it's easy to have a normal concept offense. He's basically coached a quarterback through that, and I think they tailored a lot of things in Oakland to what Derek Carr does well. As long as you have normal offensive principles, I don't think it's that hard to transition to it. You're going to be putting guys through camp, and you're going to run. There's going to be base stuff in your offense, but I think the majority of what you do if you got Johnny is tailored to him. And I think it'd be easy. The other thing, too, is remember, whoever is the back, let's say Johnny's starting, which I think is, you know, right now impossible to say with any type of certainty or seriousness. I think you're looking at a veteran backup who's going to be able to step in and have command anyway, whether that be, and it could be a veteran starter with Johnny coming in later in the season if he does get the play.
And I believe also, too, that how awkward and uncomfortable that offense looked was a lot in that 1 week when he finally got the start was because Kyle Shanahan tried to give him a year's worth of information in 1 week, you know, and the offense had to adapt to that new system. And I think the same can be said is about Marcus Mariota. And I know Mike Mayock has said, come out and said it's very hard to evaluate him because he is a system guy, but why for someone who is essentially going to pick him as a top five quarterback in hopes that he is your franchise quarterback, would you not, again, adapt everything around him and that and what he excels at, something very similar to that that Oregon offense, which is why Philly, you know, is a real player to move up and go get Mariota and Chip Kelly's offense.
And by the way, Connor Shaw, you know, if he continues to develop and let's say ultimately he's your backup, is going to be able to run any kind of an offense that Johnny could.
Sure.
He's a similar type of
he's
an athlete. He's
I love me some Connor Shaw.
He's faster
great
than
guy.
Johnny.
Tons of heart.
I'm the head of the Connor Shaw fan club.
Yes.
Underground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, when we come back here, we are live at the Discount Drug Mart in Medina on Worcester Pike. Markievicz Mingo will join us on the air. Get your questions in for him, 216-578-0850, or tweet us at Browns_daily. We'll sit down with the Browns linebacker who will be entering his third season now in the NFL. Again, live at the Discount Drug Mart in Medina. Come on out and meet Markievicz Mingo. John Greco as well will be out here in hour number two. Zagura Wilhelm. We'll see you when on the other side of CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.